Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Thank you for it. Titus today, I want to give you a couple little verses here and see if we can get some help from the Lord. The Bible says, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Titus chapter number 1, let's just read two verses here. Pick up in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is in or which is after godliness, in a hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And I like those two words. I'm not going to preach on it, but I like those two words, eternal life, right there. And our Bible is very plain on the doctrine of eternal security today. Amen. One of the plainest doctrines in the Word of God. Amen. Chapter number 2, look with me, verse number 13. Chapter number 2, verse number 13, the Bible said this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 2 said this, in hope. And then verse number 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. I'm interested in one word this morning, and it's the word hope today. With the help of the Lord, I just want to preach to you a little while on that word hope today. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, God, for being good to us. I thank you, God, for mercy and grace. I thank you, God, for a building that we can come in today. God, I thank you, Lord, for padded chairs. I thank you, God, for a good choir. I thank you, God, for good special singing. Thank you, God, for people that's filled the building up today. God, I thank you for being good to us. Lord, so many times we begin our prayers with all of our wants and all of our desires and all of our needs. But God, this morning I say thank you for being God. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being the lily of our valley. God, thank you, Lord, for being a bright morning star after a long midnight hour. God, thank you for being there for us. Thank you, God, that you've never forsaken us. Thank you, God, that you've always been. You always will be, God. Thank you, Lord, Father, for who you are to me. Thank you for being my best friend. Thank you, Lord, for being the one that's altogether lovely today. Thank you, God, for the hope that I have, that because you love me enough, you sent your Son to die on Calvary, to die for our sins. God, thank you that we've got hope beyond this life because of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to bleed and to suffer and to die and to resurrect and to ascend back into the third heaven. Thank you for loving me enough to send the Holy Spirit as a comforter unto us. Help us, oh God, today. May your name be exalted. May sinners be drawn to thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach to you just a little while on that simple word, hope, right there, that is found here in the book of Titus. Matter of fact, if you'll study that word in the New Testament, you'll find that it is mentioned over 40 times in our New Testament. Here's what Webster says about the word. He says this, it's confidence in a future event. It's confidence in a future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. The reason that we have hope today is because of a future event that I believe that is right at hand. Here's what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to what he said in verse number 2. In a hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What did he say in our text? Verse 13. Look looking for that blessed hope, a future event, amen, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our, here it is, Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the reason that we do have hope today is because of one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is not in me, and hope is not in you, but our hope is founded and our hope is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ today. If we looked at this world, we would go crazy. You might as well holler amen. This world is crazy. The economy is crazy. It's getting crazier by the minute. It'll continue to get crazier by the minute. Oh, but we've got confidence in a future event, and that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Him, we do have hope in the midst of a hopeless condition today. I thought about this by way of introduction. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ here in this text today in verse 13, I see the greatness of His name. What did the Bible say? He said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, the gloriousness of His name, or the greatness of His name. I began to study that word great right here, and here's what I found out. The word for great here is where we get our word mega from. And this depicts our coming Lord. He is the mega one, the greatest, the biggest, the largest, the mightiest, the grandest, the loudest, the oldest, and He is the smartest. On this day we will see Him, and He will be face to face. It will be our good day. It'll be a grand day. It'll be the greatest of all days. It will be a day that beckons, saves sinners into the presence of a sinless and a sovereign and a holy God. Matter of fact, the songwriter said it best when he said it this way: and what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. There is the greatness of His name. He is the greatest of all. He is the fairest among 10,000. He is the one that's altogether lovely. I don't know about you today, but I'm still thankful for our great God today. I thought about this by way of introduction. There's the greatness of His name, but there is the goodness of His name. There is the goodness. What did He say? He said, our great God, and watch this, and our Savior. Amen. And our Savior. I'm glad that He's my God, amen, but I'm also glad that He's my Savior. Hear me and hear me well. He's everybody's God, because every knee will bow and confess that He's Lord one day, but I'm glad that He can also be our Savior today. Yes, He is a judge today. Yes, He does reign with righteousness today. Oh, but I sure am glad that He is our Savior today. You see, you and I both was lost and on the road to hell, and within ourselves there was nothing we could do about it. Oh, but aren't you glad this great God loved us enough? This great God looked down through the scope of time and saw you and saw me, saw us in our condition, saw us lost and on the road to hell. Oh, but He didn't leave us there. Aren't you glad that He sent a Savior today? Oh, there is the greatness of His name. Oh, but there's the goodness of His name. I sure am glad that He loved me. I'm sure am glad that He came to me. I sure am glad that He didn't let me die and go to hell. We serve a good God today. He's loving to us. He's long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish. We're here today because of Him. We're breathing today because of Him. We have what we have today because of Him. We're not going to hell because of Him today. The goodness of His name. The goodness of His name. The goodness. Hey, you hear me and hear me well. He's never done me wrong. Are you hearing me preach? I'm still in the introduction. I'll preach in just a minute. He's never done me wrong. Are you hearing me? He's never dealt me a bad hand. Amen. He's never done me wrong. You say, preacher, I don't understand why things are the way that they are. I don't understand it either. And there's sometimes I sit back and I scratch my head and wonder why it has to be the way it is. But He's still God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's still a good God. On my worst day, at my lowest moment, He's still a good God today. There's the goodness of God. And whenever we think about His greatness and we think about His goodness, really the only thing we can say is hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm unworthy, but He is worthy. Amen. When we think about this world today, they don't understand the hope that we have in a future event. How can you say, preacher, how can you stand and tell a story about a man that just passed away and laugh about it? Here's the reason why. Because we have hope in a future event. Can I just say that again? Because we have hope in a future event. Because we know that's not the end. Amen. We know there's a brighter day coming. Oh, yes. This world don't understand the hope that we have in Him. The reason the world is miserable today, the reason that divorce rate is at an all-time high, the reason that suicide rate is at an all-time high, the reason that drug abuse and alcoholism and the abuse of alcohol in teenagers is at an all-time high today. Here's the reason why. They're trying to find hope in everything else. And this world will do nothing but fail you. This world will do nothing but do you wrong. The people of this world will do nothing but fail you. Oh, but our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in the people of this world. My hope is not in you, and I hope your hope is not in me. My hope is anchored way beyond this world in the third heavens at the throne of God. There is hope today. You say, preacher, I walked in here today, and you know what? You know what? We never really know what no one is going through. A lot of times people come in, they'll have a smile on their face. Are you with me? They'll act like everything's just fine, but boy, deep down inside, they're at the end of their rope. They've tied a knot and they're trying to hang on, but the knot's slipping, and they just don't know what they're going to do. You might as well holler, amen. We're not all perfect sitting in here today. If you come in here hypercritical, you're at the wrong place, because we ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And if you're not saved by grace, thank God you can get saved by grace before the service is over. We never truly know what's in individuals' minds. We never truly know what's going through. We never know. How many times have you got a phone call and you said in the back of your mind, boy, I never dreamed that would have happened. Why? Because we never truly know. So I don't know what you walked in here facing today. I don't know what your week's been like. You don't know what my week's been like. I don't know what you've walked through this week. You don't know everything I've walked through this week. But I did come to say this. I'm glad it don't matter what you've been through. I'm glad it don't matter what you're currently in. I'm glad it don't matter the load that you walked in here with today. I can report to you that I talked to God this morning, and He said, go tell them that in me there is hope today. There is hope. Let me give you three things and we'll go home. Number one, watch this. There is a saving hope. There is a saving hope. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Can I say this to you today? There is a saving hope today. people, let me tell you the reason. Let me tell you the reason so many people turn to alcohol. The reason, and can I just say this while I'm on that? I'm not going to preach all morning on it, but can I just say there's never been nothing good come out of alcohol. There's never been one thing good come out of, woe unto a man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. That's still in the Bible. And I'm not going to stand here and preach an hour against alcohol. You know I'm against every, there's nothing good ever came out of alcohol. You tell me one good outcome that's ever come out of it. But boy, I can take you to a grave after a grave after a grave, and a mourning family after a mourning family after a mourning family that's lost a loved one because of a drunk driver, or that they've lost a family member because an individual got in a drunken stupor or got high on something and committed a crime that they thought that they would never. Is anybody hearing a preacher preach this morning? People turn to that because they're looking for something. I done a study one time on meth, and they say that once an individual takes meth for the first time, it's an immediate addiction. They said this, that in our mind is something called dopamine. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that whenever we get happy, whenever we laugh, that a little bit of that dopamine is spilled out in our mind. And that's what makes us laugh. That's what makes us excited, because that dopamine is spilled out. And they say whenever an individual takes meth for the first time, it says that if you could imagine that there was a glass of dopamine in your mind and just a little bit of it is dropped out each time, that very first time that glass is turned over in your mind and all the dopamine's turned out in your mind. And the reason people continue to return to that, Brother Randy, they're trying to find that first high again, but they'll never find it again. And that's the reason they end up overdosing. It's because they keep pushing more and more. They've got to have more and more. Hear me and hear me well. They're looking to something for a hope that is not going to help them. A bottle will not help you today. Hear me and hear me well. Some crazy psychiatrist is not going to help you today. I'm not against getting help. I'm not against talking to people. I've personally done that this week because of some things. There's nothing wrong with that. But you hear me and hear me well. When you turn to nothing but this world, you're going to find nothing but misery. Oh, but I sure am glad that there is a saving hope. We can turn to Him. We can look to Him. I'm glad that if you walked in here lost and on the road to hell, and you're trying to find it somewhere else, you'll never find it. Oh, but thank God, if you'll but make your way to Calvary, there is a saving hope. You said, preacher, would He really save me? You remember what Paul said just two books back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, don't you? Paul said that he came to seek and save that which was lost, and he goes on to say this. He said that he was the chief sinner. In other words, he's the head honcho. In other words, he's saying this, I'm the greatest of all sinners. There's never been one that was any worse than I am. I want to ask you a question today. If you're sitting here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever killed somebody simply because they loved the Lord and worshiped God? I'm sure the answer to that is, I hope, the answer to that is no. And you know what Paul did? That's exactly what Paul done. Paul would hunt down Christians, Brother Josh, just like would turn them coon hounds out and hunt down a coon. Just like them hounds would hunt down a coon, Paul done that to Christians. And you know what? He said, if God would speak to me in Acts chapter number 9. If God would convict me, if God would save me, Paul says this, God would save anybody. You hear me today? There is a saving hope. You don't have to leave here lost. You don't have to leave here worried about where you're going to spend eternity. Hey, if you've got a family member that's outrun us in this race and they were saved and you're questioning in your mind, will I ever see them again? Thank God. You can leave here today knowing that, because there is a saving hope today. Number two, there is a sure hope. It's not only a saving hope, it's a sure hope. Listen to what your Bible said. Let me illustrate it. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. There is a sure hope. I used to fish a lot, and I enjoyed largemouth and smallmouth fishing more than anything. But every once in a while, we'd catfish, Brother Lloyd. We'd just take an evening and get some beanie weenies. Somebody say amen for beanie weenies. Get some beanie weenies and some cheer wine, and we'd load the boat up, and we'd put some rod holders on it, and we'd go up up close to Clater Lake where New River goes into it, or we'd go to Catawba River where it goes into the lakes at, or over at Hickory, and Brother Robert, we'd get in there right as the sun was starting to go down, and we would find where we wanted to fish. We'd look for certain places, and once we fished there a little while, we just knew where we was going to go. We'd get to those places, and when we'd get to them, we would throw the anchor out because there was a current. Are you with me? And that current would move you around. And if you're catching fish, you don't want to move. You want to sit still. And if you was going like we was going that night, you didn't want to move. You wanted to throw the anchor out and get your beanie weenies out and salt and vinegar pour crying. Somebody say amen. And they make these little coconut bars. It's like chocolate and vanilla and strawberry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I don't know the name of them. I call them fishing bars. And you get some of them out, and really, you didn't care if a fish bit or not. You was just there to watch this, let everything go. Just calm. That's the reason you was there. But you'd throw that anchor out because you didn't want to go nowhere. See, that anchor was sure. That anchor, even though there was a current, it would hold you where you needed to be. It is sure. Can I tell you something today? We've got a hope that is sure. It is sure. I thought about this, that word sure. I thought about this. It's steady. It's unexplainable. It's reliable. And it's for everyone. Didn't matter who was in that boat, you count on that anchor to hold you in place. Are you hearing me today? You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you. We've got a hope that is sure today. You say, preacher, how do you put a smile on your face when everything's going wrong? We know that this life is not it. You say, preacher, how do you hold it together when everything's falling apart? I really don't. You just think I do. But the way we do is this right here. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is not in the current situation that we are in. We are anchored in something that is far greater than this world, that is far greater, amen, than our circumstances. We are anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is sure today. He's steadfast. You can count on Him. He's always going to be there, no matter what time of day or night. No matter the condition of the weather, no matter the storm that you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, where you're at, or where you're going, you can count on Him. He is sure. He's sure. There's a saving hope. There's a sure hope. But watch this, number three, and I'm done. There is a soothing hope. There is a soothing hope. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but he talks about that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He said that we don't have to sorrow as them. We don't have to walk through life discouraged and defeated and isolate ourselves from this world. Why? Because we have a soothing hope. Here's what he said in Philippians chapter number 4. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a soothing hope in the Lord today. He can give you peace like nobody else can give you. He can, hey, listen to me. He can never say a word, but say more that will help you than anybody else will ever say. Why? Because we have hope in Him. I thought about this. Miss Daniel, you come start playing softball. I thought about this. When I was growing up, we lived in the suburb of Yakinville called Courtney. I said preaching Wednesday night or Tuesday night in Statesville. That I was going to start telling people I was from the greater Mount Airy area. It's a suburb called Low Gap. It's in the greater Mount Airy area. Watch this. We lived in Courtney. And I remember one Christmas morning, my dad is still like this today. If he's up and you're in the same house, you're up. Madeline has been working third at Baptist, and we was gone a couple days, and she stayed with them, and she tried to sleep in one morning because she had to go to work that night. And Daddy's up, everybody's up. And I remember that Christmas morning, Daddy got me and Rebecca up. And the house that I grew up in, you came in, there was a carport, and you came into the kitchen, and whenever you walked through the kitchen, there's a little dining room and a living room, and then there was a bathroom, but right here at the dining room, there was another door, and some of y'all remember them old houses used to have what they would consider a formal living room. There was a formal living room in there. I don't know that we ever sat down in there, but there was a formal living room. Mama had it all decorated up. That's probably the reason we never sat down in there. But I remember we got up, and there was a Christmas tree there, and Mom and Daddy gave us our gifts, and Daddy, he was rushing us, and we opened the door to the formal living room, and there was a candy apple red two-seater go-kart sitting in there. And I'll never forget that. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it, man. I remember we had to turn it up on its side like this to get it out the door. We got it out the door and set it down. And had a Briggs & Stratton 3-horsepower. He wouldn't give me a 5, Brother Mason. He'd give me a 3-horsepower. I did learn how to open the governors up on it. He gave that to us. And one day we was riding, and while we was riding, the throttle cable broke on it. Well, if it's today's youngins, they would have went home crying and had to go to 7 counselors to get over this traumatic incident in their life. I'm sorry. That just kind of slipped out. But I tell you what we done. I looked where that throttle cable went. That's the day I found out where the governor was at. And I stuck my hand back there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I worked the throttle back there. So I was cool then because I could lay back like this and drive. Y'all with me? I'll never forget, man, I went around that parking lot 2 or 3 times and I figured out how to open that governor up. Y'all know what? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say open the governor up? Praise God. And it was peg leg. It wasn't positive traction. And you could open that governor up and son, he'd just... That's good stuff, man. Every boy needs to learn how to do a donut. Are you with me? I got so tickled. Axel was talking about doing donuts in the old brown truck with Diane yesterday. I figured his Mark is driving, but Diane had him out in the field doing donuts with him in the truck. Atta girl, I'm proud of you. I'm so glad you come here to church. I just hope you didn't give him a cigarette while you was doing it, but anyway. We got to get back to preaching. Watch this. I opened that thing up. I come across that, But the muffler was right there beside him. Brother Matt, I'll never forget, I laid my hand down, my finger down on that. Man, it burned it. That's when I had to go through 7 counselors. No, I walked in, I told Mama. Daddy said, oh, you'll be all right. Mama said, come here. She went in there and she washed it. I wasn't all right during that. But she got some medicine, some kind of salve out of the cabinet in there in the bathroom. Boy, I'm telling you, it was hurting. It's hurting. Mama put that on it. She said, you just go in there and sit down. It'll all be all right here in just a minute. Boy, about 5, 6, 7 minutes went by, and you know what, Brother Brian? Every bit of it had quit hurting. Was it still there? Yes. Was I still dealing with it? Yes. But I got to the right person that had the right thing to give me to help me with what I was dealing with. Now, can I just say something to you? You may walked in here this morning and you've got that place in your life like I had. And you're thinking in the backside of your mind, I just can't make it. I want you to hear me. You can always make it with the help of the Lord. There's never a time, you hear the preacher, there's never a time that you can't make it without God. If you'll turn to Him and you'll rely on Him, you can make it. Let me tell you the reason why. He's got the right medicine to give you, to help you for whatever you're going through in your life. There is a soothing hope. There is a soothing hope this morning. And let me tell you where it's found at. In our great God. There is a sure hope. He'll be there for you. When your family turns their back. When those you thought, I'm right now done, but those you thought would walk their last mile with you and they turn their back on you. I'm telling you, there's a sure hope in Him. And if you're here lost today, there's a saving hope. We have hope, and it's in Him today. It's not in me. It's not in the Baptist faith. It's not in Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Thank God for every bit of that. But my hope is not in you today. Thank God it's in Him today. Hope in a hopeless situation.